So, welcome. For those of you that haven't seen me preach before, I'm a mover. It keeps your eyes moving, so don't look away, because when you look back up, I'll be over there somewhere. So maybe keep your eyes up. Unless we're reading the Bible, then obviously look down, that's fine. Before I start, I was praying in the corner, and we are looking at hearing in his presence. And it would be remiss of me not to hear something God is saying and not share it. So I was praying in the corner, and he gave me a word for someone. I don't know if you're in this building, whether it was one of the young people that have gone out, so I will share this later as well to them. But you feel like you're clinging to life by your fingernails. And you don't know how long you can hold on for. But I really felt God wants to share with you that his hand is waiting on the other side of that ledge for you to reach out and grab it. And he wants to pull you up and walk through life with you. I don't know who that was for, but I'm just going to pray and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this word. Father, I pray whoever this is for, that they will receive that, Lord, that they will realize that your hand is always outreaching, wanting to know them and to love them. Father, I pray that they reach out to you and grab hold for all of their days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. So, yes, as we looked a bit earlier, we are looking at the prophet Elijah. We are specifically looking at one of the verses, which is where God wasn't in the wind, the fire, or the quake, but he was in the whisper. But I think to do that properly, we need to have a bit of background about Elijah. So I've got a few things that you need to know. He was a prophet. Do we all know what a prophet means? I need some response because kids don't know what prophet means. It's a man who brings the word of God to the people of the nation. That is pretty much what a prophet means. We need to know that. There's a point there. There was a guy called King Ahab. He was the king of the time. And he actually decided he wasn't going to serve the God of Israel. He was going to serve this God called Baal or Baal or however you want to say it. I'm Brummy, so it always comes out wrong no matter how I say it. And so God sends Elijah to the king. And Elijah says, look, there's going to be a drought. No rain. All gone. And just like that, there was no rain. Crops were drying out. Life was hard. And so then Elijah does a thing and he just runs off into the wilderness. You know, imagine declaring a drought for the whole of the country and then running away to not be seen for a while. And so he runs off into the wilderness and God feeds him and the stuff that goes on there, it's great. Read 1 Kings, it's an amazing story. But then he finds a widow and there's this widow who's got a kid and the kid dies, comes back to life. Again, great story, go read it, but you need to know these things. And then he goes back. And the Lord sends him back into King's presence, and he's got all these prophets of Baal, and he sort of challenges them to a rap battle of the old times. Like, and all the Baal's prophets are spitting and saying all these wicked raw lines to the God that they serve, and yeah, trying to be down with the kids. But and so they're doing that, and nothing happens, and then Elijah says one line, pretty much one line. And fire falls down from heaven and burns the altar that they've put forth for the true God of Israel. They then capture all the prophets, slit all their throats, job done. And then he goes and prays. He prays for the rain to come back and he sends his servant a few times. I think it's 7 times on the 7th time. There's a cloud the size of a fist on the horizon of the seas. And Elijah goes, that's the rain. And that's where we're picking up the story. So I'm going to read the verses, and then hopefully we can push forward. So now, if you've got a Bible, I should tell you this. If you've got a Bible, you want to be in 2 Kings 19, whip out your phones. We all do it that way now. I just went old school to look more holy, but I usually do it on my phone. It's fine. 1 Kings, yes, I don't know why I said 2 Kings. 1 Kings 19, apologies. I should also say that if you're really struggling to keep up with me, I apologize, I speak really fast. But if you watch me back on YouTube, there's this great thing that you can go 0.5 times, and I sound so great, half speed. It's amazing. So if you can't keep up, I apologize. Do go back and watch me on YouTube. I will do my best to slow down a bit once I've read the verses. Okay, so 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them, meaning the prophets. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once the angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there was by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After an earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Meholiah, to succeed you as prophet. I'm going to stop there because it's just more names and I'm only going to ruin them. So, yeah. Okay. And so here is where we pick up. We pick up Elijah, who is literally just called fire down from heaven and a cloud into existence with the help of the Lord. And then the first thing we pick up in the first verse was Jezebel wants to kill him. And so what does Elijah do? He was afraid and he ran. Has everyone ever heard that phrase? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Let me tell you, Jezebel is literally what that phrase is about. She has just watched all her prophets of Baal be killed by the sword. No fire came from heaven for them. And so she is out for blood. She is looking to kill Elijah. Now, I would like to say, if I was in his place, I would just call more fire down on Jezebel, job done. But I wasn't in his place, and I don't know how scared he was, and I can see why he would be scared. And so he ran. He ran, and he hid in the desert about a day's journey away, and he found a tree, and he hid under the tree. And he decides that he's going to cry out to the Lord. He's in frustration, and he says, Lord, I'm done. Kill me. And then falls asleep. So, and then he falls asleep and the Lord wakes him with an angel and gives him food and water. And he falls back to sleep. And again, the angel wakes him. And I can just imagine myself in this situation. There are three times, generally, that I get quite angry. One of them is when I haven't slept enough. For those of you that have kids, you know this feeling. I was about 5:30 this morning with my child. I was not happy. Not knowing I was coming here this morning to do this. 5:30. I was a bit cranky this morning, I'm not going to lie. And so I just feel there's a little bit of faithfulness in the Lord going, I see you, Elijah. I see you want to die. I see your frustration. Have a little sleep and come back to me after that. And then the second thing is I get hangry. We are a family household of hangry people. Do we know what that means? It means you're angry because you're hungry. Shortened, hangry. And we are a family. My child is like it. My wife is like it. I am dreadful for it. And 5 o'clock in our household when it's dinner time is ruthless. Like, we are savage to each other. And then we eat and we apologize and we pray it out and we're good again. And so I think, again, there's a faithfulness in God going, yeah, I reckon you're just a bit hungry. Here, have a cake of bread. But cake, I prefer the cake bit. Have a cake of bread And here's some water as well. The third time I'm always angry is I'm thirsty. I'm dying for a drink. I'm parched. And I just get a bit irate because I'm getting warm and I'm getting all sweaty and I hate the heat and I'm just, So again, some water for Elijah. And so he's hoping, I really feel that the Lord is like, here, have a sleep, have some food, have some water. You'll feel better in the morning, have another sleep. But again, that doesn't work. And so another angel, I think it's the same angel, comes back, knocks him on his shoulder and says, here you go. Here's some more food. This food is for the journey. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never eaten something that has sustained me for a 40 days journey. Anybody here eaten anything that could sustain them for a 40 days journey? I've been to all you can eat Chinese buffets. I can eat a lot, but none of that is sustaining me for 40 days. So I want to know what the Lord had in this bread, because I want some of that. So yeah, and so here we end up. He goes 40 days into the wilderness to try and go to the mountain of God. And he gets there and he sleeps in a cave. And he has to wait again. Now, when I was preparing this talk, or trying to prepare this talk, should I say, there was lots of things going on in my life, both this week and last week, and probably the week before. And for most of you who know that life's not been easy lately because of having a sick wife at home, because of pregnancy and stuff like that. So trying to find time to sit down and do this was hard. And to try and sit down and find time to hear from God and what he wanted me to say on this. But yet Elijah waited 40 days and nights and asleep in a cave before he comes to know the word of God. I bet half of us won't even wait 40 minutes before we get up and start doing something else when we're in our prayer time. I'm so guilty of that. I'm like, Lord, I need this, this, and this for today. Amen. And out the door. Actually, there's a bit of relationship that needs to go on. It's about being in that presence and hearing God back, having space to listen. Malcolm, I'm going to pick on you because I can see you right in front of me. So if you and your lovely wife next to you were to go all day and all you did was speak and never listen to her, do you think that would be a great relationship?
Sounds quite normal to me.
All right, maybe I didn't pick the right couple, but okay. It might be normal, but is that right, Malcolm?
No, I am a sinner.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. And Julia, how would you feel not being listened to all day when you've been trying to tell Malcolm something all day?
Well, I'm tempted to give the same answer. It sounds quite normal. But obviously, I would be very angry.
Yes, I bet. But there's a space in that which it's a two-way thing. Communication to build relationship is a two-way thing. It's not just talking all the time. It's listening as well. And Elijah waits 40 days before he then hears from God. And I wonder, again, just me in my place of reading the scripture, I almost wonder if God is testing Elijah's resolve to quit. Like, I've come to a point of nearly quitting this job. I'll be honest with you guys. Some weeks, they are worse than others. And I'm like, maybe I just need to quit. And then I take a minute and I chat with someone and they encourage me and I'm okay again. I think if the Lord said to me, you can quit, but you've got to walk 40 days up a mountain and sleep in a cave, I'd be like, it's fine. I'll stay here. I'm good. I'll do what you're asking. No worries. I ain't walking up no mountain. For those of you that know me, I'm not walking to the shop. I'm a drive. So I'm certainly not walking up a mountain. So yeah, I just really felt a sense of God going, if you really want to quit, come and find me. And Elijah went and found him up the mountain and he slept in a cave. And then we move forward into the next part, which I'm looking at, verses 10. And we move forward there and he speaks out and the word of the Lord comes to him and he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, there's two times I know in the Bible of God asking a question. This is one of them. There's probably more, but there's just ones that come to my head. The other one is Adam in the garden. You know, when he runs off and he goes, Adam, where are you? Where are you? The Lord is sovereign. He knows exactly where Adam is, but he chooses to call out in this moment as well. The Lord knows why Elijah is here, but he asks Elijah what he's doing here. And Elijah, again, repeats almost a little bit of what he said earlier on. I am been very zealous for you, Lord, but the Israelites, they're bad people. They've been killing us all. They don't want to listen to you, God. They just want to kill me. I'm done. I'm out. That's me done. And the Lord then says, go and stand at the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then the great and powerful wind tore the mountain and shattered the rocks. Now, the wind for me, when I read this verse, was quite significant, because if back in chapter 18, it's a wind that comes with the rain. There's a cloud on the horizon and a wind comes. So we know that the wind is of God in that point. And Elijah would have felt the wind of God bringing the rain. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then the wind, and after the wind, there was an earthquake. Wow. If you scroll all the way back through your Bibles, you don't have to, I'm going to tell you where it is. If you go back in your Bibles to Exodus, when Moses is up the mountain, when he's speaking to God in the smoke, the ground shakes. And Elijah would have known this. When Moses is in the presence of God, the ground shook. So surely the Lord's in the earthquake. But no, the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire. Wow. A couple of days ago, fire came down from heaven. Scorched the land, the altar, the water that was in the altar, all the stones, scorched to death. Surely the Lord is in that fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. He realized that the whisper was the Lord's voice. And I wrestled with this a little bit. I was like, how can he realize, in all these things that we already have seen God do in this, in the time frame, in Elijah's life, how does he know it's the whisper? And really felt God talk to me going, because he knew my voice. You know, Elijah is a prophet. His whole job is to know what God is saying for his people. His whole lifestyle would have been built around knowing what God wants to say. He spent time in the wilderness listening out for God. He spent time hearing God. Just moments ago when he chatted to the Lord saying, and the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He knew that voice. He didn't have to guess who that was when he said it. He knew who was calling him out. And it's the relationship that Elijah had with the Lord that he knew the whisper was God. And so I just really felt convicted personally by that. And I'm willing to share that because I sometimes am so busy waiting to hear from God, and probably God is trying to speak to me all the time. God is a faithful God. He always wants to speak to his people. He sent prophet after prophet after prophet to try and speak to the Israelites. And yet, sometimes we just don't listen. Just like the illustration as well. It's not just about not listening. Sometimes life's a distraction. Do you know, I've got my Bible notes on my phone. I've had 6 notifications come up on my phone while I've been preaching, trying to distract me from what I'm trying to talk about. It's so easy when we're reading our Bibles on our phones to be distracted by the Facebook message that comes up. Oh, I just read that. I'm in church, but Jamie's preaching. It's fine. I'll watch him back on YouTube at half speed. It's so easy to be distracted when you're trying to hear God, but the world around you is just so noisy. And as I was praying, I came to this point. That Elijah had waited 40 days for a whisper. And I really felt that God was saying to me, I'm in the whisper in the waiting, not the noise in the chaos. See, the chaos was the earthquake and the wind and the fire, big things going on. But actually, it was the whisper that God was in. I just want to share that with you. That was an encouragement for me to realize that. And so I want to share that with you. But also share that in the fact that Jesus did that. So Elijah took time out from all the stuff. He could have just gone back to Jezebel or whatever he wanted to do. But he took 40 days to go and seek the Lord and take that waiting time. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Do you know, it's so easy to come and do ministry for the Lord, whether that be voluntarily or paid service, whatever that might be, and think you're okay and you're hearing God. But that can be just as much a distraction from what God wants to tell you and God wants to say to you. There can be good distractions. Jesus had good distractions. Do you know, he always took time out. Whenever you read Jesus doing something, there's this space of him going and sitting on his own and praying or going and spending time with his Father, building that relationship to hear from what God wants to do. Are the miracles a bad thing? I don't think so. Was spending time with his disciples a bad thing? I don't think that was either. Was bringing people back from the dead, preaching the new gospel, his kingdom coming. Was that a bad thing? No, but yet Jesus still took time out to go and spend time with the Father. And I am so guilty of this, being a church worker, so guilty of going, well, I'm doing all the things for God, so I must be okay. And really neglecting that personal relationship with God. Really guilty of that. And so I want to encourage you that, yes, you might serve in the church, and yes, you might be helping out in this place and that place, but that can be a godly good distraction in a bad way. You need to make sure, your first and foremost, and Jesus modeled that, is to have a relationship with God. That's where you should start. Anything else needs to start in that position. Jesus modeled that, and we need to be more like him. And so that's how we hear from God, is when we spend moments just spending time building relationship and being in his presence. And because of Jesus on the cross, we have the ability to have that relationship. If Jesus didn't die, we'd be listening to prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. But Jesus died so that we can have a loving relationship with our Father in heaven. We don't need to go into a temple and burn offerings and do all these things. Jesus did all that for us on the cross so that we can just come into relationship with our Father. To hear in his presence is to spend time with him. That's really the biggest thing I got out of reading these verses. And I want to encourage you in that. And so I thought about that. I thought, oh yeah, that's great. And I thought, actually, how do we hear from God? It's all right me telling you, you're meant to do it. But how is that even possible? So I thought of these application points that I've got. I've got 3 points that I came up with that hopefully are encouraging you. Now, I know there's more than this, but these are the things that encourage me and hopefully encourage you. And so the first one has to be this. As Christians, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Do you know, how many of you, when you're hungry, just wander around the house hoping food jumps out at you from somewhere? You know, I walk into the bedroom. I know I've got a chocolate bar stashed in here somewhere. No, I can't find one. I walk into the living room. Maybe Eden's left some snacks lying around. No, there's nothing there. No, we don't. We don't do that. What do we do? Come on. What do we do? Where do we go when we want food? Toaster's good. Kitchen, yeah, kitchen. We go to the kitchen. Why? Because that's where food is kept. And so I just come with that analogy. So to hear the word of God, why would you wander around on the earth going, oh, hopefully God will say something, when the word of God is kept right here in a book, ready to tell you all that you need to hear and all you want to know, and yet you don't go to that. Thank you. Appreciate that. I just found it so hard-hitting that is such an easy example to go, actually, oh, Lord, I want to hear from you, and then you've never opened your Bible today. I'm guilty of it. I'm not saying this to discourage you or break you down. I'm saying this because I'm a person that's guilty of doing this all the time. Lord, let me hear from you. Okay, right, I've got to go and run Bible discovery groups now. Lord, let me hear from you. I want to hear what you want for the church. But wait until Illuminate's finished because I'm about to kick 5 kids out because they're doing my head in. No, we need to go to the Bible. The source of all of God's knowledge and wisdom is right there. I really want to encourage you in that. Second is to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Paul talks to us and says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. It's not just about speaking when you were praying. Again, going to that relationship. It's about hearing. And again, when we're reading the Bible, we should be praying about that. What, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to hear, sorry? What are you saying to me in this passage of Scripture? And once you've read your Bible, space to let God just be. You know, the forefathers before us, the Israelites, didn't have the Holy Spirit to sit and dwell with them. That's why God sent prophets. We were gifted with the Holy Spirit from the Lord that we can read the text and we can be one with our Father in heaven and know his will. But we need to make sure we have space to do that. Praying in the Spirit is really important. Communicating with one another. I remember a conversation with one of our children out there, and she was 9. That limits how many kids it could have been, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. But yeah, she was 9 and we were playing a Jenga game. Super spiritual, yeah, I know. But in this Jenga game, on every block, you'll see them out there if you ever play with them. They've got a sticker on, and each sticker is relevant to a question. Some of them, would you rather have a car or a bike? Or if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? If you had £5,000, when would you spend it on? Those sorts of questions. But in mixed with that, you know, being a good Christian youth worker, are God questions. And one of the questions this girl pulled out was, how do you know, or what would make you believe in God? And she turned to me and she said, well, I know there's God. And I said, okay, so what makes you believe that? She went, well, when I pray, God speaks back to me. so he must be real. And I thought, wow, at 9 years old, you've already figured out the voice of the Lord for your life. How amazing is that? And so, yeah, just encourage you in your prayer life, like Elijah did. He knew God because he was constantly in relationship with him. He knew what the voice sounded like because he'd heard from God before. And so, again, going back to another point, is that one of my other young people, an older young person, went, yeah, because we were talking about this somewhere different. And they were like, yeah, but that's all right saying hear from God. But how do you hear from God? So actually, that's a good point. How do I hear from God? And I thought about it, because I've never heard the big, booming, audible voice of the Lord. It's not for me. That's fine. How do I hear from God? And I shared with them that I hear this still small voice in my head. And then I realized just how relevant that was to the whisper. But I hear this still small voice in my head. And it sounds like me. And 99% of the time, I'm sure it is me. But it comes with a lot more wisdom and knowledge than I have ever had in there before. And so therefore, it can't be me. And so, and we had this long conversation. Like, yeah, but how do you know that that's God? And I said, these are my 3 points that I have. If God is speaking to me, and I'm not sure whether it's God, I weigh it with these things. Is it encouraging? Is it inspiring? Or is it equipping? If it's one of those things, 9 times out of 10, it's of God. Because he wants to build me up, he wants to encourage me as a father in heaven, wants to give me good things. And if it's not those things, get someone else to weigh it up. That's the best way I could deal with it. In a short time that we had, we were talking about it. I was like, is it encouraging? Is it inspiring? Is it equipping? And if that still small voice is one of those things, then God just wants to bless you. Now, if that still small voice is for someone else, again, weigh that up. If you're hearing from the Lord for someone else, maybe you're praying for them or things of that nature, weigh it up with those things. Is it encouraging? Is it inspiring? Is it equipping? If it is, then even if that's not of the Lord, but I really believe it probably is, you're only going to encourage someone in their faith. You're only going to inspire someone to seek the Lord more. You're only going to equip them to do the Lord's work better. And if it's not, get someone else and share with them. I have a mentor. His name is Andy Cassidy. He came and preached here a few weeks back now. And I use him as a sounding board for some of those things. I'm like, when I'm praying, I think God's saying this, but I'm not sure. Can I have some feedback on that? And I've used Ian and Celia in the past with those things, and other people in the church as well. I just said, look, my house group, I've been at house group and gone, I think God's saying this, but I'm not quite sure. Can you pray about it? And so that brings me to my final point of practical application of hearing God. And that's having godly people around you, fellowship. Do you know, I don't always hear that still small voice in the back of my head going, whatever it might be. But when a friend comes up and puts their arm around me and starts praying and say, I really feel God wants to tell you this. Do you know, I'm open to hearing what God wants to say through someone else. Maybe it's on a sermon on a Sunday, the preacher. Maybe it's on a YouTube video on a playback. Maybe it's through Zoom. But whatever it might be, having people that are speaking into your life, godly people who you know are walking faithfully with the Lord, having those people around you to strengthen you and to hear from God through them. Maybe it's not your time to hear from God. Do you know, there was plenty of Israelites that didn't hear from the Lord, but they had to put their faith in Elijah to say what the Lord was speaking. Sometimes that's the same for us. Sometimes God's not speaking to us directly, he's speaking through someone else. And it's so easy to go, no, go away, I'm trying to hear from God. I'm trying to hear from the Lord. There's that whole thing where the man's drowning and he goes, no, the Lord's going to send me a boat to save me. And so a cruise boat comes past. Let me, no, the Lord's going to save me, the Lord's going to save me. And a lifeguard comes past. No, the Lord's going to save me, the Lord's going to save me. And another something comes past. I don't know the whole thing. And he goes, no, the Lord's going to save me. And the man drowns and he gets to heaven. And he goes, Lord, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent 3 boats. Get in one. So it's the same thing. The Lord might not necessarily be speaking to you directly, but he's sending people around you. People in church sat right next to you can pray for you. It's a hand and a Lord say something. So there's my 3. It's read the Bible, pray in the Spirit, and surround yourself with godly people. If you really want to hear in God's presence, I really encourage you to do those 3 things first. Now, I know for other people, there's lots of other options that you can do. I know, I remember Lizzie once, we were walking around Jefferson Garden. She went, oh, look at that tree. Isn't God amazing? Like, it's a tree. But some people hear God differently. Some people hear God in worship. Some people hear God with loud music. Some people hear God in the stillness. But we need to associate with God. We need to build that relationship with him because he is in the whisper, in the waiting. Spend time with your Heavenly Father. Just listening to him. Waiting on him speaking. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the word that you give me. Father, I pray it has encouraged and blessed us this morning. Father, I thank you how much that has built me up this week as I prepared this. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we will spend time with our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for the cross and what Jesus did on that. Lord, and I pray for anyone here who is ready to receive you. I pray right now in Jesus' name that we receive your gift of a new life through Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that because of that, we can come into relationship with you. And Father, I pray we never take that for granted. But we continue to meet with you as closely as we can. Father, that we will make time for you to hear your whisper in the waiting. Lord, bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.